Have your Bibles this morning. I would ask you to please turn to Psalm 121. Psalm 121, and I encourage you to use your Bibles, following God's Word as I try to read and we try to study from the Word of God. Psalm 121, would like to read verses 1 and 2. The Word of God says in Psalm 121, verse 1 and 2, I will lift up mine eyes unto the hills, from whence cometh my help. My help cometh from the Lord, which made heaven and earth. Now, there are two main points that certainly we see right from, I think anybody, I think a third grade student could read this and see that there are at least two main points that are mentioned here. The first one is that I am weak and I need help. The Word of God says, I will lift up mine eyes unto the hills from whence cometh my help. And then he says, my help cometh from the Lord which made heaven and earth. So I need help. You need help. There's not a person, there's not a human being on this earth that does not need help. We need help. We need God's help because though we are weak, God is strong. God is omnipotent. He's all powerful. And God is able to help us in all of our troubles and all of our problems. One of the difficulties we have in our lives as human beings is that the devil would have us to trust in ourselves or to think we are not weak and we're not frail creatures. And therefore, if I don't realize how weak I am, then I'm not going to be running to God for the help that I need. I typically run to God, flee to God, cry to God when I feel that I need help. But I need help every day, even when I'm not conscious of the need I have of God's help. You need God's help every day. The Word of God tells us that we're not to trust in ourselves. We're not to trust in our own strength. We're not to trust in uncertain riches. We're not to trust in doctors. We're not to trust in the government. We're not to trust in all of these things. But our trust and our confidence, our helper is God. And I ask all of you to pray that God will help us to remember and to realize that God is our helper and that we do need help. Go forward in your Bibles just a few moments to Isaiah chapter 31. Look at Isaiah chapter 31. The Word of God warns us about going to any place and any other thing other than God, going to any other person, if our confidence, I'm not saying don't go to doctors, but I am saying that your helper, even when you go to a doctor, your helper is God. Your helper, even though you might take medicine that might be good for your body, it's God that blesses that medicine or the medicine won't do any good at all. And so God is our helper. And He is the one that we are to trust. And He is the one that we need to recognize. The Lord who made heaven and earth. The Lord who is all powerful. The Lord is our helper. In Isaiah chapter 31, the Word of God says, woe. And brethren, that first word means troubles ahead. Trouble is ahead. Woe to them that go down to Egypt for, what's the next word there? For help. Woe to them that go down to Egypt for help. Now, Egypt here represents the world and all the devices that Satan would have us to trust in rather than trusting in God. And so God says to us, woe to them that go down to Egypt for help. Do you think you have ever depended on something or someone other than God? Do you think your trust, you think your confidence, do you think you have thought there was help somewhere than other than in God? Do you think you've ever done that? I don't think I would consciously, if you say, are you trusting in XYZ? I would say, oh no, I'm not really trusting in that. I'm trusting in God. But sometimes I'm just deceiving myself when I say I'm trusting in God. Sometimes I am going down to Egypt for help. Trouble's ahead. You're going to find out Egypt can't help you. Woe to them that go down to Egypt for help and stay on horses, that is, they trust in horses and trust in chariots because they are many, and in horsemen because they are very strong, but they look not unto the Holy One of Israel, neither seek the Lord. Brethren, I believe with all of my heart, our nation at one time trusted in God. That's our national motto. In God we trust, not plural gods, not heathen gods, one true and living God. Our nation trusted in the Lord. Our nation, the government, does not trust in God anymore. And so the Word of God says here to our nation and to our government, woe, troubles ahead. They do not look unto the Holy One of Israel, neither seek the Lord. Verse 3 says, now the Egyptians are men and not God, and their horses flesh and not spirit. When the Lord shall stretch out his hand, both he that helpeth shall fall and he that is hoping. That means the one that's gotten help. The person that's helping and the person that is getting help, they shall both fall down, and they shall all fail together. Why? Because when I'm trusting in someone or something other than God, God's going to let that I've trusted in fall, and I'm going to fall, and we're going to realize that God alone is our helper. God alone. Go with me to Isaiah chapter 41 and verse 10. I'm just trying to establish, first of all, that God is our helper. God is our helper. God is our helper. I need help. How many ways do you need help? Every way you can, in more ways than you can imagine. Isaiah 41 and verse 10, the Word of God says, fear thou not. This is God speaking to us. Fear thou not, for I am with thee. Is God with us here? You know, I am so thankful to understand the truth that God is in heaven. God is there. The Bible says that he dwelleth in the high and holy place. But I'm also glad to know he's down here. I dwell in the high and holy place with him also that is of an humble and contrite spirit. God dwells up there, but God dwells in here when I'm humble and have a contrite spirit. He says, I am with thee, be not dismayed, for I am thy God. I will strengthen thee. Do you ever need strength? Strength for today and bright hope for tomorrow. Strength. I will strengthen thee. Yea, I will help thee. God says, I'll help you. Do you need God's help? Oh, brethren, every one of us needs the help of the Lord. And God says, I will help thee. Yea, well, I will uphold thee with the right hand of my righteousness. Brethren, God is our refuge and strength, a very present help in time of trouble. God is there when you need help, and you need to call on the Lord. Don't be running around every other direction. Call on the Lord. So many in this congregation that have special needs right now, they need to call on the Lord. We need to call on the Lord for them. But everybody here has special needs. And we all need to be calling on the Lord. He is our helper. Trust in the Lord. Don't be afraid, because the helper that you have is better than anything and everyone else combined. We need a helper. That's what God said about Adam in the Garden of Eden. Adam had everything a man could want. He was smart. He named all those animals. Adam was extremely intelligent. But there was something Adam didn't have, and that was a helper. He needed a helper. Now he had God as his helper, but God helped him by giving him another helper. Did you know all of you are my helpers? Did you know that? Sometimes people that have great skill, sometimes they have helpers that help them work. Well, all of us are helpers. That's what we are. We help. We're helpers. We are laborers together with God. He's our main leader. He's our strength. He's our guide. He's our helper while we're working in his vineyard. He's our helper. The Word of God says, the Lord is my helper. This is Hebrews 13:6. The Lord is my helper. I will not fear what man shall do to me. Brethren, we need that kind of confidence. And you cannot have that confidence if you're going to trust in yourself. You can't have that kind of confidence if you're going to trust in people. But if your confidence is in God, and you know God is your helper, if you say, I will lift up mine eyes unto the hills from whence cometh my help cometh from the Lord, which made heaven and earth. If He is your helper, you're going to have peace in your soul. You can say, the Lord is my helper, and I will not fear what man shall do unto me. That's the reason Stephen could preach to those people like he did. Fear not, fear not. God's your helper. No matter what you're facing in your life, don't be afraid. You've got a helper, and He will help you. And He's all powerful. He made heaven and earth. The Lord is my helper, which made heaven and earth. Now go back to the text, because this is what I want you to see that I've never seen before. You may have already seen all this. I wish you'd have told me about it if you had, because I've never seen it before in my life. Now, the main thing I've always gotten out of Psalm 121, 1 and 2 is that I need help and that God is my helper. That's the main thing I've seen. But I haven't really seen, I don't think, the truth in verse 1. I've just seen the truth in verse 2. Verse 1 says, I will lift up mine eyes unto the hills from whence cometh my help. You hear that? I will lift up mine eyes unto what? The hills from whence cometh my help. Now, that's what I want us to study the rest of the time this morning, is the hills that we need to be looking at. Because there's some hills that God has given us in His Word. There's some hills, and that word hill comes from the same Hebrew word that means mountain. There's some mountains in God's Word, and you need to look at those mountains. I will lift up mine eyes unto the mountains from whence cometh my help. Do you know who gave me those mountains? Do you know who recorded in His Word about these mountains that we're supposed to be looking at? The Great Helper. See, I don't want you to get the idea that you just look at those mountains. It's God that gave you those mountains. And He says here, I will lift up mine eyes to the hills, and I want us to look at three hills that God has shown me today that I get help from. Three mountains that I get help from. And the first mountain that I get help from, you might think, I don't get any help from that mountain. But I'll tell you what, if God will open your eyes, you'll see that you need to look at Mount Sinai. I will lift up mine eyes to Mount Sinai. Because Mount Sinai, where the law was given, and it represents the law, it helps me to look at the law. I know there are a lot of people today that just don't want to talk about the law. They just want to talk about grace. They don't want to talk about faith. They don't want to talk about... Let me tell you something, brethren. Jesus did not come to destroy the law. There's a great purpose in the law. When I look at Mount Sinai, and I see God giving... writing in tables of stone, I see Him giving us those Ten Commandments. When I look at that, it gives me some guidance in my life. It helps me to know right and wrong by looking at Mount Sinai. It helps me to look at Mount Sinai. All through the Scriptures, the Word of God tells us the importance of us looking at Mount Sinai. Look at God's Word. Meditate on it. Look at it. Digest it, eat it, take it in. Just for a few minutes, let's just take 3 minutes. Go to Psalm 1, just a moment. Back up in your Bible to Psalm 1. I just want you to see, and I'll be glad to give you 100 other scriptures if you want them. But I want you to know that it's good for you to look to Mount Sinai, and there is help that comes from looking at Mount Sinai. Rather than by looking at Mount Sinai and hearing what God's telling you to do and what God's telling you not to do, it'll save your soul from a lot of hell here in this world. It's good for you. I get help by looking at Mount Sinai. Listen now. Psalm 1. Psalm 1. Blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor standeth in the way of sinners, nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful. But his delight is in the what? His delight is in the law of the Lord. I'll tell you, I get great joy in looking at the Ten Commandments. I get great joy. I find peace. I find joy in God saying, this is right. This is wrong. I don't have to wonder about homosexuality. God spells it out in His Word. Now, if God had not given me His Word, goodness, I would just kind of say, well, we don't know what's right and what's wrong, but I get help from God's Word by looking at the laws of God. The moral laws of God have never changed. And God given us those moral laws, and they're for our good. They help us. Do I need to look at the moral laws? Did you know that the law sometimes, now you can take this and run and go away with it all you want to and argue, but let me tell you something. The law sometimes keeps me from committing adultery. Thou shalt not commit adultery. You know, people have different opinions today, don't they? They have different opinions about living together before you get married. They have different opinions about all kinds of things. Well, the problem is, it isn't up to you to decide or me to decide. In fact, it's not a problem. God says it. You see, I've got the laws of God. Does it help me to look at the laws of God? Absolutely. It's a great help. Blessed is the man that delights in the law of the Lord, and in His law doth he meditate day and night. You see, he's looking. What mountain's he looking to? Mount Sinai. Now, well, let me go to one or two others. Go to Psalm 19 very quickly. Psalm 19, verse 11. Psalm 19, verse 11, the Word of God says, Psalm 19, let me read 10 and 11. This whole chapter is talking about the commandments of the Lord, the law of the Lord, the statutes of the Lord, the judgments of the Lord. You know how that's all summed up in a mountain? What mountain sums up the commandments of the Lord, the law of the Lord, the statutes of the Lord, the judgments of the Lord? That's what's described here. What mountain sums that up? Mount what? Mount Sinai. I will lift up mine eyes unto the hills from which cometh my help. I get help from looking at Mount Sinai. I will lift up mine eyes unto the hills from which cometh my help. And then in verses 10 and 11, he says, more, talking about the commandments, the law, the statutes, and the judgments. In verse 10, he says, more to be desired are they than gold, yea, than much fine gold. Does it help you? Oh, it's more important than gold and fine gold. The laws, the commandments, the statutes of God. Mount Sinai helps us. Lift up your eyes unto the hills from whence cometh your help. Verse 11 says, moreover, by them, by these commandments, statutes, and laws, by them is thy servant warned. Do you hear what I just said? Not me. Do you hear what God's word just said? I'm warned by God's laws. Does it do me good to look at the laws of God? Absolutely. I will lift up mine eyes unto the hills from whence cometh my help. My help comes from the Lord, which made heaven and earth, but my Lord has given me a mountain to look at too. And he says, look at that mountain. Moreover, by them is thy servant warned, and in keeping of them there is great reward. Now that helps me. It warns me, don't do some things. It warns me, do some things. And it tells me God's going to reward me if I'll follow His Word, His commandments, His statutes, His judgments. They're for me, and they're for my good. They help me. That's one hill. Now, and we could go to many, many, many other scriptures. Thy Word is a what? Thy Word is a lamp. You need a light in this dark world? Thy Word is a lamp unto my feet and a light. Mount Sinai is a lamp and a light. Thy word is a lamp and a light. Great peace. Psalm 119, verse 165 says, great peace have they which love thy law. Oh, it helps me to love the law of God. I get great what? Great peace. Does it help you to have great peace? Brother Terry Smith says quite often when we're talking about blessings, he says, one of the greatest blessings I have is peace in my soul. Peace in my soul. Oh, it's a helper. Look at Mount Sinai now. Here, there's a problem with only looking at Mount Sinai. See, the text doesn't say, I will lift up mine eyes unto the hill, singular. I will lift up mine eyes unto the hills from whence cometh my help. You see, if all you look at is Mount Sinai, you see all these commandments and judgments and statutes and all these laws of God, no matter how hard you try, you're going to come up short. So it's good for me to look at Mount Sinai. It's good for me to look at all these statutes and commandments and judgments, but did you know that if all I had to look at was Mount Sinai, I would fall down and give up and say, there's no hope for me. But he tells me now there's another mountain, and that's Mount Calvary. Ooh, what a pretty mountain Mount Calvary is. But you never appreciate Mount Calvary till you first keep looking at Mount Sinai. You don't know how much to appreciate Calvary until you realize you can't keep all these laws of God. You're falling short. You, I don't care who it is here, even my mama falls short. Now, she's as good as anybody in this building, and even she falls short. Did you know we all fall short? So, if my salvation's dependent on me looking at Mount Sinai, I'm going to come away sorrowful and weeping and terribly upset, and I have no hope if all I look at is Mount Sinai. But the Word of God says the law is a schoolmaster to bring us to Christ. So if I keep looking at Mount Sinai, I find great joy, and it helps me for a long time. But as I keep looking at Mount Sinai, and I look at myself and all of the shortcomings in my life, I need to know there's another way I'm saved other than keeping the laws of God. And so he says, now look at this mountain. Look at Mount Calvary. Oh, how beautiful Mount Calvary is. When Jesus was hanging on the cross, and he, in John 19:30, said, it is finished. Brethren, I can't think of right now any prettier words in all the Bible than that. But those words are much prettier when you keep looking at Mount Sinai and you see, there's no hope for me. There's no hope for me. If the only mountain there is, though I get help from Mount Sinai, if that's all there is, I don't have any hope. My hope is built on nothing less than Jesus' blood and righteousness. I dare not trust the sweetest frame, but wholly lean on Jesus' name. On Christ the solid rock I stand. Do you know what Jesus did at Mount Calvary? He paid for the sins, all of my sins, every sin that I have ever committed. He paid for all of the sins of all of his people. And when he was hanging there shedding his blood, his righteous pure blood, and he said, it is finished. It was over, brethren. And I get help from looking at Mount Calvary. And I know I'm saved. I'm talking about eternal salvation. I'm talking about going to heaven when I die. I'm telling you, brethren, I know that I'm saved because I can look at Mount Calvary and I know Jesus died for me. And it helps me to lift up mine eyes unto the hills. Did it help me to look at Mount Sinai? Yep. Does it help me to look at Mount Calvary? Absolutely. That's the reason the Apostle Paul could say, he said a bunch, but I want to mention one thing. He said, O death, where's thy sting? O grave, where's thy victory? Now listen to this. The sting of death is sin. You know where you get that sting of death? You know where you get an understanding of the sin that stings you? Mount Sinai. And it's good for you to feel that. It's good for you to see that. The sting of death is sin. And the strength of sin is the law. But thanks be to God, which giveth us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. I lift up my eyes unto the hills. Mount Sinai. Mount Calvary. Now, I'm afraid that most of God's people stop at Mount Calvary. I think most of God's people join the church, think they got saved, and that's it. All they see is, I'm guilty, and they see, Jesus saved me, and there's a period right there, and they don't go to another hill that's very, very important. You got Mount Zion. Mount Zion. We're marching to Zion. Yeah. And the Zion that we're marching to is not eternal heaven. That songwriter, we're marching to Zion, he says, the hill. The what? The hill. Let's see now. What's the text? I will lift up mine eyes unto the hills from whence cometh my help. I'll look at Mount Sinai. I look at Mount Calvary. And now I look at Mount Zion. The hills of Zion yield 1,000 sacred sweets before we reach that heavenly field. Brethren, the hills of Zion are for God's people while they live here in this world. I need to understand Mount Zion. I need to understand what the Bible says about Mount Zion. I need to understand that just as I look at Mount Sinai, and there are things that are inseparably connected with Mount Sinai, and I get help, And when I look at Mount Calvary, and there are things that are inseparably helpful by looking at Mount Calvary, I also need to know that we have Mount Sinai now. Not when we die, but now we have Mount Sinai. And Mount Sinai encompasses the kingdom of heaven, and it encompasses the church of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. I lift up. Can you see Mount Zion? Can you see the beauty of Mount Zion? Listen, brethren, if all you do is just see Mount Calvary and you stop there, you're missing all the joys that God has for you right here. You need to see Mount Zion. You need to see there's a hill from which comes help now, and you need to look at that hill. You need to look at Mount Zion. You need to see the church in its beauty. You need to see the church as a city that's set upon a... You need to see the church as a city that's set upon a hill whose light cannot be hid. You need to see the kingdom of heaven, the mountain of God, Mount Zion, because it helps you. It helps you to see. It helps you to see those hills. I'll lift up, David says. Now, did he see the Lord at Mount Sinai? Yes. Was the Lord the one that gave him Mount Sinai? Yes. And did he see the Lord at Mount Calvary? Yes, he saw the Lord at Mount Calvary. And does he see the Lord on Mount Zion? Yes, because the kingdom of heaven has a king who is our Lord and our Savior, Jesus Christ. He's the captain of our salvation. He's our leader. He's our helper. The Lord is my shepherd. The Lord is my shepherd right now. And he leads me in paths of righteousness for his name's sake. And yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I'll fear no evil, for thou art with me. My helper is with me, and my helper, your helper, is with you. But if you don't see Mount Zion, you miss. You think your helper is way down there at the end of this time world. You think your helper is just going to take you to heaven when you die if you stop at Calvary. But you need to see Mount Zion. Let me give you two scriptures in closing. Look, please, at Mount Zion. Look at Isaiah chapter 2 first, and then we'll close with Hebrews chapter 12. Do you see how pretty it is to lift up your eyes to the hills from whence cometh your help? Isaiah 2, verse 3. This is a prophecy about the coming of the church, the coming of the kingdom of heaven. You see, it's Mount Zion. Everybody get the picture now. All the Old Testament pictures are a foreshadowing of something better to come. And you've got this Mount Zion in the Old Testament, a mountain. And on top of that mountain, you have what? What's on top? The city, right? You got a city on top of the mountain. And then in that city, what do you have? You have a temple in the city. And in the temple, you have the holiest of all. Oh, how wonderful it is to see the mountain and to work and climb that mountain and go up on the mountain and see the city, the New Jerusalem, and enter into the New Jerusalem and see the church and enter into the church and see Jesus. What a beautiful mountain Mount Zion is. Isaiah chapter 2, verse 3. And many people shall go and say, listen, brethren, if you've ever been on Mount Zion, you need to go tell other people, come on, we want you to get on this mountain with us. We want you to walk with us. We want you to be on this mountain. And many people shall go and say, come ye, and let us go up to the mountain of the Lord. What's the next phrase? To the house of the God of Jacob, and he will teach us his ways. Now watch this. You go to the mountain, you go to Mount Zion, you go to the church, you go to the house of God, and he's going to teach you what? His ways. See what he does? He goes back and starts teaching you the laws and the commandments of God. The commandments of God. So you go to the Mount Zion to learn the laws of God and the commandments of God that he's given for us to do. And he will teach us of his ways, and we will walk in his paths. For out of Zion shall go forth the law and the word of the Lord from Jerusalem. It's going to protrude. It's going to, what's another word? I'm missing the word I'm looking for. Anyway, the word of the Lord is going to come out of Zion. Did everybody hear that? It's going to be like a trumpet sounding. And brethren, when the children of God hear that certain sound, they'll drive for miles they'll do anything necessary to get to that certain sound, because it's better than any other music there is on this earth. Now, in closing, go to Hebrews 12. And listen, brethren, Hebrews 12 is a contrast of Mount Sinai and Mount Zion. It shows you how much better Mount Zion is than Mount Sinai. Oh, Mount Sinai was a mountain that if you touched it, you died. Mount Zion's a mountain that if you touch it, you live. In Hebrews chapter 12, verse 18, let me just touch there first. For ye are not come unto the mount that might be touched and that burned with fire, unto blackness and darkness and tempest and the sound of a trumpet and the voice of words, which voice they that heard entreated that the word should not be spoken to them any more, for they could not endure that which was commanded. And if so much as a beast touch the mountain, it shall be stoned or thrust through with a dart. And so terrible was the sight that Moses said, I exceedingly fear and quake. That's what Mount Sinai will do to you. It'll make you afraid. But you're come. Here's the better mountain now. Here's the good mountain. This is the best mountain you'll have on this earth, other than looking at Mount Calvary, but this is a mountain you can live on right now. But ye are come unto Mount Zion, unto the city of the living God. Where's that city? It's on that mountain. You're come to Mount Zion, you've come to the city of the living God, the heavenly Jerusalem, and to an innumerable company of angels, to the general assembly and church of the firstborn, which are written in heaven. And to God, the judge of all, and to the spirits of just men made perfect, and to Jesus, the mediator of the new covenant, and to the blood of sprinkling that speaketh better things than that of Abel. Oh, brethren, do you see the beauty of lifting up your eyes to the hills? If you see that beauty, I pray that God will bless you to do it, because if you'll lift up your eyes every day to those three hills, it'll help you every day. I will lift up mine eyes unto the hills from whence cometh my help. My help cometh from the Lord, which made heaven and earth. May God bless his word to our hearts is my prayer for Christ's sake.